Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Jennifer Yost, who is interested in distant healing and also spiritual work, which leads her to put on a program which is coming up shortly called The One Gathering, which we shall discuss during the program. I have arranged with Don at BBS that in the second half of the program, and not before, we will open the call lines, because Jennifer has kindly offered to do distant healing, if that is necessary. So welcome to the program, Jennifer.
Hi, thanks for having me on, Mike. I'm excited to talk with you today.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I think one of the questions people would ask if they were me is, how did you get originally interested in healing and your spiritual advancement?
Sure. Well, I kind of stumbled into it, and anyone who's listening that's ever taken a Reiki class, that kind of happens when I guess Reiki finds you in a way. I happened to be hanging out with some friends one evening, and one of my friends hit her knee on a coffee table, and for some reason I just spontaneously got up and went across the room and put my hand on the place of her knee where she had hurt it. And then the phenomenon that occurred was, I'd never experienced anything like that before, and it was a lot like I had somehow extracted that energy that was hurting her out of her knee. I didn't know what had happened, but at that point I became very curious and really I went online to try and find out what that phenomenon was, because I wanted training and I wanted to figure out how could I learn more about whatever it was that just happened, and that's when I found my Reiki master and took my first Reiki class, and that was back in 2002, I believe.
Right. So what courses, if any, did you take to develop your ability to do healing? I mean, presumably you do, what, hands-on or something like that?
Yes. Reiki is just like, it works with your energy body, and it works with your chakra system and meridian system. And it's a lot like, it's kind of like acupuncture, but without the needles. And it's a light laying of hands. And so basically a Reiki practitioner channels the universal life energy that we all have access to, and that's all around us. That's the energy that makes up the moon, the stars, you and I. And it's a very all-knowing divine energy. And the Reiki practitioner is simply a channel or a conduit for that energy to come through and let the receiver have the energy, and the energy will do whatever it needs to do for the person, and it just helps to restore the person back into balance on an emotional, mental, physical level. And within the Reiki healing system, there are three basic levels to it: Reiki 1 and Reiki 2 and then Reiki 3. And then after Reiki 3, you could consider that a master level, but there's a separate course. Depends upon who's teaching, but there's a separate course to become a what's called a Reiki master teacher. And, of course, master just means teacher. I don't think we're ever masters of anything, really. We're always learning, aren't we? But I have taken, I've become a Reiki master, and then I also studied matrix energetics, which deals with quantum healing techniques and working on a quantum level with folks, which is a whole other kind of system I've integrated into my work as far as the energy work is concerned.
Right. Now, you mentioned chakras, of which I'm familiar. Can you actually see them?
Yes and no. I tend to be a kind of person that the way I sense energy is by how it feels with my hands. My hands, when I'm doing the work, my hands kind of become my eyes. And
yeah.
So if I'm working on a particular chakra, like say around the throat chakra, and that's just located on your throat, it might kind of feel blocked to me, and so the energy might feel kind of just stagnant, or it's just not flowing. I guess that's the best way I could describe that. And then I'll do some work around that chakra to help clear and open it. Because once the chakras are open, then we can speak our truth, if that's the throat chakra, or just you feel better.
Right, yes. Now, I've been doing healing for many years. I only do it for people that are family or friends, not because I don't want to do it any further. That's how it's worked out. Now, when I go around a person's body with my hands, not touching the physical body, I find that if they've got something wrong, the energy feels, I call it, agitated. Now, is that the way you would think of it?
Yeah, it can feel a lot of different ways to me. It can feel, like agitated. Sometimes I might be sensing their emotional body sense, which maybe they're having some anger around some sort of issue in their life. So sometimes, the energy or it can feel maybe jagged or scattered, or there's lots of different, I guess, senses that I personally can pick up on. But, we all sense energy very differently. And some people are very visual, and they'll see shapes and colors. And sometimes I do, sometimes, but primarily it's more of a feeling or a knowing even.
Right. If you pick up an imbalance, say, which might be due to an illness within the physical body, can you or do you send out certain rays by colour to bring about the healing? I mean, do you sort of qualify the energy in that way according to the vibration?
Sometimes when I switch into my quantum healing background, your imagination and how your creativity is endless. And so when you're doing the work, a lot of times, like say, I don't know, I'm working on somebody's lungs and one of the presenting symptoms is a really horrible cough, or their breathing has been constricted, and lungs tend to be around grief issues. And so maybe if I'm feeling there's a lot of congestion in the chest or something like that, for instance, maybe I bring in the energy of fire to kind of heat it up and dry it out, so to speak. And so things along that nature, or maybe the color red. A lot of times in my healing room when I'm doing the work, if my eyes are open at the time, and I keep something in the room keeps catching my eye, whether it's a picture on the wall, maybe it's an image of, I don't know, Mother Mary or another healing deity or something along that nature, or a crystal or a color. Sometimes I'm like, okay, this person needs red, or this person needs Mother Mary energy, or Krishna. So it kind of gets channeled in, and it's quite profound, the shift that happens, because people will respond. Usually they'll be, they'll feel something that has occurred, and this work just never ceases to amaze me. It blows me away every time I do the work, I find it fascinating.
Now, I do want to go on a little bit later to talk about your program that's coming up, the One Gathering, but in connection with that, I gather you want to help people and the planet in the energetic shift that is currently happening. Now, what does the energetic shift mean to you? How do you see it taking place?
Well, I see, as far as like what's happening in our world right now, what I gather from the shift that's happening is, as far as the U.S. government's concerned, it seems to be being completely broken down, and perhaps, I hope, good reform happening in that direction. And the economy worldwide is pretty much getting a reboot. And it seems to me that old ways of thinking and being and kind of even underhanded ways or kind of fear-based ways are no longer seeming to work on this earth plane. And I think that people's consciousness is starting to shift, whether they are aware of it or not. And I think people are beginning to wake up a little bit more to that we are all connected, especially in kind of these fearful kind of times. I think fear is one of the biggest illusions and one of the most forceful of illusions that we'll get is fear. And I think that some of these things happening on a global level are, and we're probably going to see more and more crazy natural disasters and more unheard of crimes as we kind of come up to this crescendo that fear might be causing. And it's the lesson there is not to get lost in this all these fearful illusions, but to learn from them. And I think if we cannot get lost in the duality that's happening, we can find our way to unify. And so the one gathering I wanted to have in place to just help people in this process, because I don't know, we may or may not see some more pretty intense natural disasters between now and the big fabled 2012, but things might start to get a little bit more darker on the planet before it gets lighter, and I have a strong belief in humankind that we're going to come out of this on top and we're going to be in a bigger world of peace. It's just a matter of weathering the storm and cushioning the fall, so to speak, instead of going down in flames. I don't think we're going to be destroyed or anything, and I'm not trying to put fear out there, but it's just kind of my viewpoint on what's happening.
Absolutely. I think you're perfectly right about the fear factor here. You mentioned 2012. A lot of people believe that is actually a key date in the ascension process. Do you see it as a particularly important time?
I think right now these times we're in are very important times, and I think it's very exciting to be on the planet right now, because I feel that we're in this spiritual evolution, and we're entering or are in the intuition age and out of the information age. And 2012, whether it happens then or thereabouts, maybe it depends how quickly we are ascending, whether it happens sooner than maybe a little bit later after 2012. But I think that the vibration of the planet and the poles that are in the north and south poles shift that is happening, that's causing the weather changes, that's just kind of booting us up into a higher vibrational frequency. And those that remain on the planet that are resisting it, are going to, in my opinion, have a hard time being on the planet, and will probably most likely leave it in some fashion. Unless they're open to the ascension process.
Yes. I think that fits a lot of people's idea of what is going to happen. Now, your mission in the One Gathering is clearly based on your spiritual understanding, because you've said that what you want to do is to expand and lift mass consciousness to a higher vibration of peace and joy, which we would need to be to reach that time of ascension. You've spoken already about oneness. Now, you also mention about aligning people to their higher self. What do you understand is meant by your higher self?
Your higher self, to me, is just basically your soul self, that constant, quiet, gentle observer that is behind your human side. Because we're 100% human, but we're also 100% divine simultaneously. And when I talk about waking up, humanity waking up, it's basically waking up to the awareness of that higher self, that soul self side, that observer, because a lot of us, including myself, allow our egos to run the show most of the time. And, our egos, we need our egos for this earth to function, right? We need those, and we need our beautiful brains. However, sometimes they don't necessarily see the higher way or the higher path. So once we can learn to utilize our mind and our egos for what we need them for to function here on Earth, but also have the awareness of our higher self and be able to click into that part of ourselves more often than not, that's when you enter into the flow of abundance and just having your life be sync up in such a way that it's very graceful and joyful.
Yes,
and not getting caught in fear.
Where we should really be, rather than in duality, but duality is in one sense a very great experience, and it's possibly helping us to achieve a higher consciousness. Now, your program that you're going to put on in August, I read, is a 2.5-hour program. That sounds a lot of time to fill up. What is the main subject of the program that takes up the most time in it?
Well, basically, the one gathering, it's the third one I've done, and each one has been their own flavor. And, you know, when I got the, I guess, the calling to do this or the guidance to do this, I was just like, what? Okay, I'm going to do what? and I've never been an event planner because there's a lot of things into putting this on. But the way this one is coming together is, I have a piece of it, and then I also have some featured guests that are going to be joining me to take some other aspects of the One Gathering. But my piece of it, I'm just going to present my part, and it's just about, in a more practical kind of manner, I'm going to have some images projected that just to portray some of the highlighted things about my talk in a way that people can just kind of chuckle and have a good time and also grasp the concepts about duality and our human side and our higher side and also living in your heart, because that's the other part of the One Gathering. It's in place to teach us to spend more time in our heart center rather than up in our head all the time.
Yes.
And so that's my piece. And then I have Matt Kahn and Julie Dentmar, and they are spiritual teachers and intuitive healers. And they are going to bring in the divine feminine and the divine masculine. And Matt is a channeler of high ascended masters. And so he'll probably bring through some messages for the group that is at the One Gathering. And then we will move into the energetic attunement that we're going to do on the crowd, which is the kind of the meat of the program, and in my opinion, kind of the fun part, because that's going to be done by Eileen Day. She's a Reiki master colleague of mine and founder of the Washington State Certified Reiki Training Program here in Seattle. And so she's going to do the live guided meditation into the attunement process. And I have live musicians Dean and Dudley Evanson, who have been in the healing arts musical community for their careers have been 30 plus years, so they're going to be accompanying the process with their live music. So it should be quite a One Gathering this year, and it's at the Center House Theater at the Seattle Center, and so it's in a great venue as well.
Yes, it certainly sounds a very varied program that you're putting on. It sounds very interesting. I can't believe any of them are going to get bored with so much going on. And what I'm interested in asking you about that is, you mentioned the guided meditation, and that interests me.
Attunement?
I tried. Yeah?
In the attunement?
Yes. And I wondered what type of meditation you use. You express it in the way of into the consciousness of the heart chakra to assist in the healing of those that are in attendance. So I'm just interested to know what type of meditation you use for that purpose.
Okay, yeah. So basically, Eileen, who will be facilitating the vocal part of the meditation, she's amazing. She's been doing this work for 15 years or so. She's been teaching Reiki for that long. So she is a master at doing these guided meditations. So she will get us all kind of centered in our bodies and then slowly take us into a journey into our heart center. And then myself and about 9 other Reiki masters that will be standing on the outskirts of the surrounding the audience are going to be working energetically while she's doing the guided meditation to bring in higher energies to help assist the crowd with their energy bodies to release anything that is no longer serving them in their life, to go ahead and release those things, whatever those are for those people, and then to the energy, the attunement just means to bring into one or bring into alignment. So with my Reiki master background, when you take a Reiki class, you receive an attunement to help you open up to become a stronger channel of the energy. And so I took that concept and decided, well, if I can do this on one person at a time, why can't I just do this on a crowd of people, who X amount of people at a time?
Yes.
Because you do it at a quantum level. So let's do it. So that's what the attunement is going to do. While I have the, also it's a multi-sensory program, so I'm the musicians are also going to be tuning into the energy as we're doing it and playing their instruments to the vibration that they're sensing, because they have a, like I said, 30-year-plus background of doing this work as well. So it's really a, because I'm wanting to lift people up on, you know, emotional level and mental level, spiritual level, but also hitting on all their senses. I guess we're probably going to be getting all of them, but taste, because maybe we'll have some rose water to kind of spray in the air at the same time. So because the whole basis of the one gathering is so these the people who attend are going to hopefully be entertained and learn some great concepts about oneness and practical ways of bringing that into their daily living experiences. And that's all fine and well, because as you maybe attended similar talks, you can walk out of there saying, oh, yeah, that was great and super. And then a week or so later, you kind of lose it. But the attunement helps to really bring those concepts that are floating around in their consciousness right into their consciousness, like, boom, right into their core.
Yes.
So that's the intention. But it's an offering as well. It's, you know, folks are welcome to receive whatever they need to receive, and because nothing is against anybody's will or forced on them. It's always an offering.
That sounds very, very interesting. What I am intrigued with is you mentioned about projecting images of peace and joy onto a background screen. What sort of images are you using to do that? Pictures of places, beautiful places, or?
Well, I do have a graphic designer who, she's at northwestceremonies.com, but she is doing moving graphics that are going to have images of higher vibration. And that those images might consist of different crystals, like rose quartz, green calcite for the heart center, when we need some grounding, some black obsidian, for maybe accessing that higher consciousness, maybe some purple amethyst mixed in there. So some of those kinds of images, that will be moving graphics. And then she's also bringing some of her own creative images in too, which she's currently working on, and her and I are kind of going back and forth with. We're in the process of creating it right now. So, but yeah, images of maybe trees for grounding, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Also, pictures of actual chakras I might project up there. So things along those lines that emanate higher vibration when you look at the image.
Yeah. I do believe that some people say that when you look at symbols, say like the crystals perhaps, they themselves actually project an energy out to you.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's some different symbols in Reiki. There's all kinds of universal symbols, which we could very well bring into the program because you strike up a good point. So I'm in this last month and a half has been my month of getting to the nuts and bolts of the program itself, the details. So I'm in this process right now.
Hello, Janice. I think we've lost you all of a sudden. Ah, I hope we haven't lost. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there, here, somewhere.
Did you disappear for a second?
I guess so. I went into another dimension, apparently.
Well, you were there 1 second, and then you were gone, and it was very quiet. Anyway, so you're covering most of what you're doing in this program for the One Gathering. What do you mean by having an overview of the abundant access to the healing universal life energy? Does that mean helping people to sort of take advantage of it and use it?
Yeah, because my whole aim with the One Gathering is not only it, I want it to be a win-win-win, you know, for all involved. A lot of people who are going to attend are probably already spiritually open, and so a lot of folks, this is just going to be a gentle reminder of what they already have come to know. But, you know, I just would love to, for one, create an abundance for everybody who becomes associated with the One Gathering and whatever that's supposed to be for them, and also when people show up, and if I can help them be more in flow with the abundance of the universe, I would love to facilitate that, because to me this is just, nobody can lose out. This is just about how can we all come together and be in flow, and, you know, because all of the laws of attraction and all the different laws of the universe, you know, I think those are probably, they're very simple yet profound. If you can master how to get out of your human self and the ego and all of that, that I think holds us back a lot of the time, we can be living a lot more of a peaceful civilization, I think, on the planet.
Yes. I think the ego normally has some bad habits that you have to get rid of.
Yeah, or just learn how to, I guess, befriend it a little bit better, or just be aware of, you know, what it's really for, you know, like all the different roles that we, identities that we fulfill in our life. You know, we have hundreds of identities, and but how much do you get caught up in them? You know, how much do you get caught up in your role as a father or as a husband or as a doctor or a lawyer? Because then you get lost in the identity, and then once you start to define yourself as a somebody, you're limiting yourself. Whereas if you can just honor the roles for what they really are for, which to me, they're vehicles in which we meet. You know, I have to be in this role of, quote-unquote, a healer or whatever to meet you and be on your radio show today. But as soon as we leave, you know, our roles at the front door, we can be more available to each other. We're more connected.
Yes. Now, having come this far, talking about your One Gathering, I think it might be appropriate if you gave out the details about it, and also perhaps your website address.
Sure.
Take a few minutes to tell our listeners.
Sure. So the One Gathering will be August 30th, and that's a Sunday in Seattle, Washington, at 4 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. at the Seattle Center in the Center House Theater. And tickets are only $20 if you buy them in advance, and will be $30 if you come to the door and buy them the day of. And the website for the One Gathering is the1onegathering.com. So that's the1onegathering.com. So that's my website for the One Gathering. And then if you had any other interest, my website for my private practice is Integrate, I-N-T-E-G-R-A-T-E, Integrate Healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G.com. So that's integratehealing.com.
Right.
Do
you invite people to email you if they want to ask any questions?
Please.
Or?
Sure, please. I welcome questions and comments. And my email address is Jennifer, J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R, at integratehealing.com. And it's just I-N-T-E-G-R-A-T-E, healing.com.
Okay, that's fine. We will so if any of our listeners want to ask Jennifer for help with any problem that healing would benefit, I hope I'm giving you the correct number now. This is the one I have, which is 530-327-7602. So if anybody wants to do that, that certainly is a studio number, and I hope it's the correct one. Jennifer, you have a long list of issues and ailments that you can give healing for. Do you find that it's particularly successful in particular areas? I mean, is it more successful for physical problems rather than emotional?
I kind of feel like the physical problems come out of emotional problems. So when we're having an emotional issue that's maybe chronic or ongoing, I think that's when our body starts to, we throw our back out. So with my work, when I start working on the person, when I start tuning into, I guess, their energy field, that's when I start to trace kind of where the presenting symptom, where the root cause of it is coming from, and sometimes it's from an emotional thing, or, like if they're, like, telling me their right shoulder has been bothering them for a long time, so I'll start kind of tuning into that right shoulder and letting the right shoulder kind of talk to me a little bit, so to speak. And also, if the person is getting some awareness, I also work off of what the feedback they're telling me, and then I might intuit, maybe they're angry about something, or maybe there's kind of a emotional energetic cord that's kind of tapped into them from some other person that's been really kind of draining them of energy. So sometimes we'll do some work at, cutting some emotional cords that aren't really serving them. Things of that nature. It's kind of, I'm also a psychotherapist. I have a master's in counseling, so I have the traditional background in psychotherapy. So I'm also able to adhere to, just helping people in their process of working out whatever it is they're struggling with.
Uh-huh.
But very good at getting people unstuck for whatever they're stuck on.
Yes. Well, it occurred to me that perhaps one of the most frequent problems you must get placed before you must be with people who can't let go of some past trauma. I mean, how do you tackle a thing like that? That must be difficult.
Yeah, and I really work to meet people wherever they're at. I never am going to force anybody to, go anywhere that they don't want to go with whatever it is they're trying to work through. Letting go and surrendering, I think that's one of the hardest human kind of conditions we have, is letting go and just surrendering. I try to be as gentle and completely non-threatening to people when I'm working with them, because it's about them and it's not about me or my agenda. The person comes to me with their agenda, and so it's my job to meet them wherever they're at with that and help just walk alongside them on their path with maybe a flashlight to help them find their way. So that's kind of how I view the work when I'm with somebody in their journey, in the process.
Right, and I should think another sticky one must be relationship issues.
Yeah. Yeah, because if I'm working with one person out of the relationship, you know, there's always two sides to every story. So,
yeah.
You know, I always take into account that I'm only hearing, you know, this person's side. And, of course, I'm their advocate, but you have to keep in mind as to there could be, you know, another side to what's going on. And, yeah, it can get kind of tangly and tricky sometimes, which is nice if the person can bring their partner in, because then that's, you know, you can kind of work with the two people together and go from there.
I guess that's perhaps one of the most difficult things, because when people have relationship issues, particularly if it's man and wife, often they don't want to take their problems to someone else. Or they individually they might, but they don't want somebody to sit in on it when they're both there.
No, I don't think so, you know, and there's still quite a bit of stigma attached to seeing a therapist, you know. A lot of people don't think they need to do that or for whatever their personal beliefs or reasons are, and that's fine, but sometimes I think, you know, it's a lot easier to take the elevator to the top of the building rather than the stairs, and, you know, I think anyone can benefit from a couple counseling sessions, no matter where they're at in their life. It's just sometimes nice to have a professional there who's going to sit and listen to you, and hopefully, if they're good, they're going to give you some nice feedback and some nice suggestions. But you know, everybody, you know, people don't really come to wanting to change until whatever the behavior is no longer working for them. You know, and everybody has their tipping point as to how miserable they have to feel before they really seek out some help.
Yes, yeah. Reach the depths of depression before they start coming up again.
Yeah.
Right, now, on your website, you mention your therapy style approach, and you use a word that I must admit I'm not familiar with. I haven't looked it up in a dictionary because I wanted to ask you about it. You say that you utilize an eclectic approach to therapy, drawing on your training. But what is that?
Oh, so basically that's just, since I've been in the counseling field for, oh boy, I guess 13 years now. Yikes. Okay, so I have been a traditional counselor, and I got my master's degree in counseling in 2005, and so I have that background that I bring to the session. And when I started my practice, since I had been studying Reiki and becoming a certified Reiki practitioner at the same time that I was doing my master's degree, I wanted to combine the two, which is kind of, especially when I first started doing this work, kind of unheard of to merge traditional talk therapy with bringing the body-mind concept into the session. Because, you know, there's a big taboo out there, do not touch your clients as a psychotherapist, do not touch them, and which I understand. There's lots of good reasons why you do not touch them. But the way I have my work set up is that clients who are seeking my services, it's presented in such a fashion that, you know, Reiki is a part of the session, and so I think that's how I'm able to bridge that gap. And a lot of times I don't even need to touch the person. My hands can be gently, you know, pretty much just right off the body.
Okay, yeah. Jennifer, we have our first caller on the line, so when they introduce themselves, perhaps you would go ahead, because I think they want to speak to you. Are you there, caller?
Yes, hi, how are you? Hi, Mike. Hi, Jennifer. How are you doing? Thanks. Jennifer, I have anxiety. I'm pretty aware of what's going on. I've been on my own healing journey, but I'm finding as I go through a lot of processes, my creativity is coming out more, but my anxiety, and I often still wake up with panic and terror in the morning. I've had a very, very challenging life path, and I do connect in a spiritual way. That's why I know I've been able to endure. But now that I've been becoming more and more aware, I want to create, now I know of the possibilities, I want to create a much happier life, but I have trauma that I feel is still in my body from really coming into this lifetime as an infant, and there are things that are preventing me from moving forward as coming into being a very creative person, and also relationship area. I mean, there's basic earth stuff is kind of difficult for me to navigate. So the anxiety, the overwhelm is in the way of lots. When I'm focused on a project like my art, I'm fine. But when there's not a clear cut, decision making, I'm hoping you're getting the idea from what I'm saying.
Yeah, it sounds like, has the anxiety been a lifelong symptom, or is that
At some point, it was hidden because it was there, but I wasn't aware. Now it's sort of like everything is no longer in place from the past, so everything is just, yeah, I mean, it's always been there, but now it's all coming up and out.
Okay, and when you're focused on your art, you're in a good place and you're not feeling the anxiety.
No, there are times when I have a very open heart and I have a lot of joy but I'm not integrated I don't want to just go on to talk about keep going on about my story.
Right.
I'm just hoping to get some to see, because
right.
I mean there's only there's a big story here for a couple of minutes.
I would suggest that next time you experience anxiety, tune into what you're thinking about. See what your thoughts are consisting of. Because what we think about really dictates how we feel. And another just easy way to kind of get out of your head is to just bring your awareness into your heart center. And I can do that with you real quick here in a matter of seconds. So if you just close your eyes for a moment and bring your breath into your heart center, your breath and your awareness into your heart center, and just kind of notice what that space feels like. Okay. Now, just for a contrast, I'm going to bring you back up into your head. And so go ahead and bring your breath up into the space behind your eyes or the space between your ears and your awareness up into that space. Okay? So that's probably a real familiar place for many of us. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now go ahead. I'm going to bring you back into your heart now. So bring your breath and your awareness back into your heart center, into your chest. And when you feel ready, go ahead and open your eyes.
Okay.
How does that feel?
Well, I'm experiencing some nervousness now. I can't completely relax. I'm familiar with exercises like this, and I just thought maybe you might pick up something energetically and. I haven't been able to be consistent in practice.
It feels to me that you're lacking a strong connection to the ground. I'm not quite sure whereabouts, what part of the country you live in, but you might try and seek out somebody who could maybe work with you energetically. And I'm not sure what modality you would feel most drawn to. There's lots of different kinds of modalities out there. It just depends upon what you resonate with. Reiki can be great, or acupuncture, or somebody who does even soul retrieval, or matrix energetics. I think that's pretty well spread around the country. Because if you very well could be carrying something that from, yeah, being born as a little baby, you're not feeling secure. And so if you can work with somebody that can kind of help release that out of your consciousness or that energetic imprint.
I mean, that's what I feel, there's a feeling of not being safe, you know. Even though when I connect with spirit, I know that I am, but I just feel energetically that's like in me, and I've done a lot of work, but I can't get to the
shake it.
Not a piece of it.
So you might want to seek a practitioner that can work with you energetically, and sometimes you just have to go to somebody and see if they're, you know, they work with you or not. And, you know, sometimes finding a good practitioner or a therapist is like shopping for shoes. Some fit real well, some don't.
So you weren't able, but you couldn't pick up something specific, like with me?
With you, all that I'm getting off of you is with your, like you said, it I'm seeing like kind of a nervousness energy. That's it. I'm telling you something that you already know, but it's kind of off your body, and it's Hold on a second. Let me tell me your first name.
Lori.
Lori. Okay. Just working on clearing your energetic fields here. So let's clear Lori of any and all energy that does not belong to her. And let's time travel all the way back to before Lori was even born. She's in her mother's womb, and we're going to reset her full childbirth experience back to the zero point. How would it be if Lori had a very smooth and graceful birthing process going to that state now? And how would it be if Lori's root chakra was completely clear, open, balanced, and had a strong connection into the earth going to that state now? And how would it be if Lori's mind and heart were in complete alignment and in harmony with each other going to that state now? There, is that feeling like something's releasing or into the ground?
I'm not sure, yeah.
Okay. Well, see what that does for you. It might be a slight, subtle shift, or later on you might notice that something that would have affected you may not have as strong as an effect on you.
I feel a little more space, you know, inside.
Yeah.
There is a little less.
I'm feeling a little bit more clearing around you, maybe, perhaps.
Yeah, Could be happening, yeah.
Yeah, so, drink some water and maybe just give yourself a moment to just sit for a few moments see, because there are some changes. I think things are still processing right now.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, I do, you might want to just, perhaps you're having these experiences that it's leading you to doing some more work, or maybe yourself, you know, it's always a process of self-discovery.
it's definitely been a healing journey and a process for sure. Thank you, Jennifer.
Sure. Thank you.
And
thank you,
Mike, for all your shows and your work. I'm really loving it, and just thank you for...
Thank you, Lori.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, lots of
thank
blessings,
you.
And okay, all right, see you.
Yeah. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Jennifer.
Yeah.
Well, that was a nice one to deal with, wasn't it? It wasn't too short, and it was an interesting one. Now, we have about 4 minutes left before I have to close the program by announcing my guest for next week. So what I would like to ask you in connection with Laurie's problem is,
Do you believe that people can bring in fears from a previous life?
Oh, absolutely. From my own personal experiences of doing the work on myself and others, you know, being witness and facilitator of others, people's process, I think that, yeah, sometimes whatever traumatic experience we had in a previous life certainly can kind of follow us into this one, and there's just something that's still in your energetic body that maybe you're not totally aware of consciously that's hanging around and causing you to feel, yeah, fearful, or maybe have a fear of heights for no reason at all that you can think of in this life, and perhaps it's because of something that happened to you in a previous life that really affected you or killed you even. So it's like peeling an onion, you know, it's just layer after layer after layer, it seems like.
Yes, and I would like to think that if people realize that some of these fears are brought in that way, it might help them to overcome them. And it's funny you talk about fear of heights, because my wife, Kathy, is absolutely petrified at heights. And if you asked her to walk across a bridge, particularly some of those ones they have in the Middle East or Far East, these sort of rope bridges that sway and move, she couldn't do it. She would just sort of die on the spot.
Mm.
And I tell her what it is, that she probably might have had a fatal accident using one of those type of bridges, but it doesn't seem to help.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, and maybe she's holding on to that or on some level and isn't ready to let go of that, or it's teaching her some sort of lesson. That's the other thing I find that, you know, I could work on somebody and perhaps clear them of a pattern, but if they're supposed to have that lesson or they haven't finished learning the lesson, it's going to come back. I'll do the work where it's like, I'll do the work and then, but say, okay, but how about they have this experience and they've kept all the lessons, but now they're clear of it. So sometimes it's just a matter of setting it up that way.
I think it's probably helpful within families if one member has some unaccountable fear, if people realize where it came from. For example, my youngest son, the first time he ever saw an imitation snake, he went deadly white and pale, and he was so frightened by it, and yet he'd never seen one before. And for other reasons, as he grew up a little bit, I realized that he must have been in India or somewhere like that, because he used to sit around in positions that are more noted in those type of countries, and he's got a love of very deep and bright colours and things. In fact, as he grew older, he took a liking to Sai Baba's teachings and he used to go over there to his ashram. So I think something connected with a previous life there, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
anyway,
I need to...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, finish off, yes.
I was going to say, for him to have that kind of response, it is curious about where that's coming from.
Right. Now, we have got to the last couple of minutes. Would you like to repeat the date and the address where your one gathering is being held? And then
I'll complete
the program. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. So the one gathering is going to be Sunday, August 30th. In Seattle, Washington, at the Seattle Center, within the Center House Theater, from 4 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. And you can go to the1onegathering.com for more information about what the One Gathering's about, or my background, or some of the featured guests I mentioned. But it'll be a great show, and the more people who attend, the more powerful the energetic energy work we do there is going to be in kind of clearing and releasing and making an energetic shift, at least here in Seattle, and it's like waves that will go on out to affect everybody.
Right. Thank you very much, Jennifer. It's been a really interesting program. You're a very interesting person, and I hope your One Gathering is a great success. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, friends, next week, very quickly, I have a guest, James Taylor, who's just released a book called The Assumptions. It's to provide a fresh view of how human spiritual energy, the energy we collectively create, has framed the world we live in and how collectively we can change it. And he says, through our assumptions, hence the name of the book. So thank you very much for being with me, everyone. God bless you all.